Welcome to this Happy Home podcast with my mom, Arlene Pelican. It can be hard to be happy when you're sick. Today's guest, Sarah Forgrave, is here to help with practical tips from her book, Prayers for Hope and Healing. If you listened to last month's podcast about doing busy better, you heard me, Noelle Pelican, open up the podcast. My mom, our author and speaker Arlene Pelican, is still struggling with a hoarse voice, so she asked me to introduce today's guest, Sarah Forgrave. Sarah is a wife, mom, author, and wellness coach. Today, she and my mom will talk about Sarah's book, Prayers for Hope and Healing, Seeking God's Strength as You Face Health Challenges. Most of you know somebody who is sick, or perhaps you are going through a long illness yourself. Our prayer is that you will be encouraged through this interview. Let's get started.
Well, Sarah, you know, you had some health problems, which gave you the background to write your new book, Prayers for Hope and Healing. So tell us a little bit. I think it was related with your pregnancy. Can you tell us about that?
It was actually after the pregnancy. It was the delivery. I had some very rare complications that happened and ended up on long-term disability afterwards. It continued for about a year and a half. I was in and out of surgeries every few months. Literally could not take care of my new baby because I was on lifting restrictions after each surgery. So my husband would pack up my baby son and take him off to daycare while I sat at home alone. Aww. And so it was my first time really going through health issues like that on my own. My sister faced stage 4 cancer when we were kids, and her battle continued for about 4 years. So I had watched her go through that as a child, but it's very different when you go through something on your own and you experience it for yourself. So that experience after my son's delivery really opened my eyes to not only the physical challenges, but the emotional and spiritual challenges that someone goes through.
My goodness. And then it's compounded because here you are, a mother wanting to take care of her son, and you can't. So kind of speak to that person who so wants to help, but just because of physical limitations, they cannot.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me was coming to recognize the things that I could do. And I know that when you're in that situation, it's so, so easy to focus on what you can't do. Trust me, I went through serious depression during that time. But there were moments where I could hold my son. We just had to get creative. So if I was sitting in a chair, my husband could literally carry him over and set him in my lap. So if I was sitting down and didn't actually do the lifting, I could hold him. So finding those opportunities to treasure what you can do. And if there's a physical disconnect where you just literally can't do something physically, find opportunities to connect in other ways, you know, emotionally or doing fun things. If your children are older or it's an older friend or family member, spending time watching funny movies or things like that that you can enjoy and laugh together and find joy even in the midst of a hard time.
Yeah. With your book, what prompted you, you know, to say, I'm going to write this book? What was it that made you cross that line to write a book?
I really found myself wishing that there could be a bedside companion where you could say, man, I'm really struggling with anger at God or feeling lonely or whatever that might be. And you could open the book and find exactly, you know, a connection with God where you are and with that particular struggle. So that was really the seed of it, was wanting it for myself and my sister.
When you were the one who was sick, how did prayer come alive to you when you were not well?
For me, prayer was a little bit of a challenge. And I think that's really where my heart in writing this book came, is that it can be really hard to come up with the words because we're so weary. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of struggle and emotion under the surface festering, but we don't always have the energy to put words to it. And so I would say that I don't I don't feel like my prayer life necessarily flourished during that time. Now, the one thing that really I drew comfort from during that time was God's word, specific passages that really spoke to me. And so that's a part of my book that was important to include. Is scriptures, and some of them are scriptures that God used in powerful ways in my own life. But really, my hope in writing these prayers, and I do want to clarify, they are not just two or three sentence prayers. They're very authentic. They allow the person to be very real with God in their struggle, but ultimately find hope in Him. And so my hope was that it would give them a voice to acknowledge what's going on under the surface.
And for the person who has a loved one who's sick, what are ways that we can pray for them? You know, where, can you give an example or just how to get in the habit? You know, because you'll think, oh, I'll pray for you, but then you forget to pray for them. Right?
That's a great question. You know, often we do say, I'll pray for you, but it can be hard to know exactly how to pray. And so I happen to be a wellness coach in my quote unquote spare time. And so one thing I love to actually use in my wellness coaching that can also be a really helpful tool in prayer is praying through the different dimensions of wellness. So we are more than physical beings. So certainly pray for their physical needs, but think about what areas do they need prayer in the area of their spiritual life, or their relationships, their social life. They're probably being cut off from different relationships. They might be struggling with loneliness if friends aren't showing up that they thought would help. Emotional wellness, you know, are they dealing with anger or sadness or depression? Praying through those things for them. Even intellectual wellness is another area, you know, as they are talking with doctors. A lot of times doctors can talk over our heads and it can be hard to understand what exactly is going on with my body. What do I need to understand with my medication so that I can continue healing? Those kinds of things. Get praying for clarity of mind for them as they navigate some of those things. And so that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. But as you pray through those different areas, you'll find there's really a lot of opportunity to cover them in prayer in more ways than just the physical.
If we have a friend who is, you know, has a illness that's either, you know, short term or long term, you know, what are ways we can reach out to people, especially during Christmas? Do you have any ideas to give us?
Yeah, I do. I have a few ideas. One is to think about ways that maybe you could bring Christmas to them. So if they are housebound or in the hospital for a longer length of stay, maybe you bring a small Christmas tree or even just a string of Christmas lights that they can put in their room to brighten it up. You know, think about bringing them a meal. I know that's kind of the standby in church world, in the church world, but, you know, bringing a meal,
it
does. It really does. And I would add the one caveat is to try to keep the meal as healthy as you can. You know, we oftentimes think of those comfort foods, but especially if they are going through medical issues, sometimes things that are higher in sugar or sodium will work against them. So we want to just be mindful of that. And I do have a blog post on my website that I shared last month that gives, I think, 5 or 6 full meal ideas that are healthy and work really well for meal deliveries, because I know it's hard to think of things to deliver. If you go to my blog, you will find it's healthy meal delivery ideas for a friend, I think is the blog post title. The other thing too, and I this is kind of silly sounding, but I would say be their Christmas elf. How can you be their little helper? Whether it's you know, checking with them if there's some errands that they can't get out and do. Do they need stamps so that they can mail some Christmas cards? Or do they want to bake with their kids but they just can't get to the store? So if you're going to those places already, just check in with them and say, hey, can I pick up something for you? And so all of those things require a little bit of effort. And so sometimes I think people get intimidated and so they don't do anything. So I would say if you feel like I don't have the time or energy to be able to do that, you know, the one thing you can always do is just send them a quick text and say, I'm thinking about you today. I've been amazed when I do that with friends, how much it means to them. To me, it's just a quick little sentence, and I think it doesn't really mean much. But just knowing that you are thinking about them, you may be the only person who lets them know that. And so it will mean a lot.
When you were in your sickness, what were the things that encouraged you? What were the things that made you feel like, I'm going to make it, this is going to be okay?
honestly, the biggest thing for someone going through a hard time, especially during the holiday season, is to be willing to let some things go. And that can be hard, especially if there are family traditions. But I found that I really was emotionally healthier when I recognized that I couldn't do it all and that was okay, and choosing to embrace the moments that I was given. So, you know, for someone who is struggling, you know, maybe you can't do your full out Christmas shopping spree that you normally would, you know, maybe it's online shopping that you do this year. Or if your family has a tradition of going to see the zoo lights every year and you just can't literally, you know, you just can't physically walk around the zoo, think about, is there a special, a Christmas special on TV that you could watch together, or a drive-through Christmas lights display? So, yeah, the tradition may look different, but you can still reinvent them, and you may find that you discover a new tradition that becomes a family favorite. I think the biggest thing that I would encourage people to think about, especially if you are the one who's sick, is just to stay in communication with the people closest to you. People often are uncomfortable with what to say or how to help. And sometimes they don't say anything because they're worried about saying the wrong thing. So if you are the one who's sick, you can really create a bridge by just talking to them and acknowledging, hey, here's specifically what I'm struggling with, what I can't do right now, but let's brainstorm some things that we can do instead. Or, you know, if it's a friend who wants to help, here are some ways that would be, that things that would be helpful. So even though it is hard and you're probably exhausted if you are the one who's sick, I don't want you to feel that burden all for yourself. But a simple phrase of, I know you're probably struggling with what to say, you know, if you say that to someone, that can just break the ice. And again, for those who are friends or family who know someone going through a hard time, just reach out. Just reach out, because unfortunately, silence just says that you don't care. And I have a feeling you do care, and we all do. So reaching out and just saying, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying about you, that is the best way to let someone know.
Hi, my name is Lucy. My mom asked me to close with a few words. The Bible tells us many times to love one another. We hope this podcast has given you ideas of how you can love the people in your life more. It's hard to be sick, especially during the holidays, but we can always find comfort because God is with us. Emmanuel. If you know someone who is struggling with illness or someone who has a sick friend, feel free to share this podcast with them. Thank you very much for listening to this month's Happy Home podcast. I'm Lucy Pelican. Until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.